The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back, and glad you're here on a Tuesday afternoon. So great to welcome back to the show our new our next guest. He is new, and we've had a couple of opportunities to visit with Shane Beamer since arriving at South Carolina. He's done all the usual things, and now he's getting ready to do some coaching. Coach, thanks for being here, and how is it going so far?
It's going great. I really appreciate you having me on again. Always enjoy it, and doing well. Three practices in here at spring practice, and things are going well, and really excited about the way our guys are working and where we are right now.
I know as you go around town or around the complex, people are saying, okay, Coach, you've had a couple of practices. Tell us what the team looks like. Are you getting a sense, or is it a little bit too early?
It's a little early. We've only had one day in full pads, but it's been easy to tell already the work ethic that we have. We've got a great group of young men on this team that are really working hard and eager to be successful. Really like the group that we have overall and the way they're working. Really excited about the coaching staff we've been able to put together. And there's great energy around this program right now, and couldn't be more excited about that. And we got a ways to go, obviously, but through three spring practices, we're excited and looking forward to getting pads on for the second day here soon and continue to move this program forward each and every day.
Coach, there will be a continuum of questions just like the one I'm about to ask you, because everything is a first as a head coach. But getting out there as a practice, you being in charge, what did it feel like?
Exciting. It's something that I've been dreaming of for a long time. And obviously growing up the son of a head coach, I've been to a lot of football practices in my time. And I've been very fortunate to work around some very successful head coaches in my career. But to be out there for the first time as a head coach in the Southeastern Conference was, can't put it into words. Obviously, you got to get past the emotion of that and understand that you have a job to do as the head coach and the responsibilities that that entails. But I'd be lying if I told you it wasn't a special moment walking out there for my first practice, having my wife and three children at practice along with my mom and my dad. To have my dad out there was pretty cool as well, and had a good practice, and I think he was pleased to see that, and looking forward to getting back out there again soon.
Dad have any pointers when it was over?
Not really. I try to get some out of him. In his mind, or usually with him, if he tells you that was a good crisp practice and that he liked the tempo, that means you've had a pretty good day. And he told me that he liked the tempo of the practice, liked the way the guys were flying around, and I'll take that as a positive.
I know we're a long way from the first game and all that, but what do you think it's been like for him to absorb his own life going through his eyes now in the shape of you?
It's a good question. I hope he's proud of what we're trying to do and the way that we're going about it. And I've relied on him. It's great being able to pick up the phone and call him and ask for advice and things like that. He's hard to track down with my three children and my sister's three children that live in Charlotte. He's busy with six grandkids and all that. So I'm not able to get him down here as much as I like. He's got a lot going on, but I certainly think he's excited. This is a program that he always talked about. One of his first away games that he coached as a head coach at Virginia Tech was coming down here to Columbia and playing South Carolina in Williams-Brice Stadium. And I remember how impressed he was on his first trip down here. And this is a program that when he was at Virginia Tech all those years, especially when he was really trying to get it going, that he always talked about, that was a place that had all the potential to be as successful as anywhere in this conference. And I totally agree. And to see me, or for him to be able to see me in this chair right now, and those exciting for not just him, but our entire family.
Coach, I know some of the basics are there in spring practice. You're looking for certain things. Your staff is. Everyone's watching for different indicators. But as a head coach, you have not had much time, and maybe some of these questions will be easier to answer later. But have you been able to think about a vision for this program yet, or is that something that you want to give more thought to when spring is over?
No, something, you know, the vision or what I want a program that I'm the head coach of to look like is something that I've been thinking of for a long time, regardless of where I am. And that's, you know, playing with relentless effort and playing physical and being a team that when people watch the South Carolina Gamecocks play, they're just blown away by the effort and the intensity and how hard we play. And that's what I want, regardless of where I'm the head coach at. And I believe you've got to play smart football and not beat yourself. So certainly that from a vision standpoint. And then when you get into the specifics of schematics and X's and O's, that's something that we learn more and more about as we go through spring practice. We've got three coordinators, offensively, defensively, and special teams that are flexible and have the ability to be multiple in the systems that we run. And that's something that we're certainly going to try and hone in these 15 practices during the spring is who's our best personnel, what do we do well, what do we need to accentuate in our schemes, and we've got the ability to do that. But there are some non-negotiables, like I mentioned at the beginning of the answer.
Anytime you come in a transition when the previous record, the previous year's record was poor, I'm sure you're looking for a lot of things out of your players. But what are you seeing so far that maybe you didn't see when you looked at film of last year?
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't watch a ton of video from last season, and a lot of that was just trying to give everybody a fresh start and not knowing exactly what they were being asked to do and the schemes they were running and things like that. I tried to get around our guys as much as I possibly could in the weight room and in off-season workouts to have a presence, but to also be around them and learn, you know, what makes them tick and get to know them as people. And that's what's been exciting. I mean, it's a great group, and Coach Muschamp and his staff did a great job of recruiting quality people to this program, and they've done everything that we've asked them to do. The work ethic, the intensity, the energy level, the excitement that they bring each and every day to our facility has been fantastic, and love the way that we're working, and really have tried to do a great job as a staff and as a program of bringing everybody together and getting everybody going in the same direction, and couldn't be more pleased with where we are from that standpoint. And got to increase the depth at a lot of positions and do that going into it, but the group that we have out there right now, we're really excited about.
Let's talk about the offense for a second, especially quarterback, because that's a question that you will be asked repeatedly whenever a media member comes your way. What are you seeing so far?
Like the group, Luke Doty obviously has done a great job, and it's a young, experienced group. I mean, I forget that Luke Doty's been here less than a year, or right at a year, and did not play much at all last season, but he's kind of the veteran of the group, if you will. But love his intelligence, love his accuracy and what kind of football player he is and the athleticism that he brings to the position, the way that he's trying to be a leader. He's a guy that I was very familiar with in recruiting, being out at Oklahoma. He was a guy that we liked coming out of high school, Lincoln and our offensive staff at Oklahoma did, and really been impressed with Luke. And he's certainly young and working to get better and getting better each and every day, but couldn't be more pleased with where he is. And then we've got, you know, a group in there competing with him, with Colton Gauthier, a true freshman that just got here in January, Jason Brown, a transfer that just got here in January, and then Connor Jordan, a returner that was on the team last year. So we've only got four guys in there, but they're all working hard and competing and looking forward to getting those guys in more and more live scrimmage situations and seeing how they perform, because it's a good group. It's got a lot of have a lot of ability. They're just young, all four of them, and inexperienced, and we've got to get better quick at that position.
Coach, before you go, this is a results-oriented business. You know that. You've been around some of the best coaches in recent history and over the last 30 or 40 years of the game. But how do you avoid getting caught up in that right now? I mean, you've got to build a football program. You've got to build it on the field. You have to build it off the field in recruiting. In the end, you will be judged by wins and losses. But when does that come into play?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's cliche, but it's really just worry about what you can control each day. And each and every day, it's just trying to get better. And that's what we're trying to do. I love the way that our guys are working, and we're attacking each and every day on the football field and in the weight room and in recruiting. And trying to get great players here, and that's what we did in the past, and recruiting great players here, and that's what we've got to do again. And I'm not naive. Ultimately, I know you've got to be judged on wins, and you're going to be judged on wins and losses. But firm believer in just trying to stack good days on top of good days, and do things the way they're supposed to be done, and do them the right way, and the winning will take care of itself. And we've shown here that South Carolina football can win at a high, high level. I was here when we played for an SEC championship and beat our rival in the upstate 5 years in a row and beat Florida and beat Georgia and beat Tennessee in the same season. And we're certainly working every day to do that again. And the rest of our athletic department showing how high you can win at a level. I mean, we got a baseball team that just swept Florida last weekend. We got a women's golf team that's number one in the country. We got a women's basketball team that's playing for a berth in the Final Four tonight, and best of luck to Coach Staley and her squad. But it's a fantastic university, fantastic athletic programs here at this place, and it's time for football to do our part, and we're working hard every day to make that happen.
You mentioned beating the Upstate team while you were with Coach Spurrier. Beat them quite regularly, I think five straight times. I understand you're a pretty popular man in the Upstate these days. I read something that you're being solicited. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, so my wife and I bought a house in Columbia, and we're doing some renovations to it, so we haven't quite moved in yet. But I went over there just to check the mail, and there was something in my mailbox last week from our rival in the Upstate asking for donations for their giving day coming up later this spring. And great respect for that school and that university and what they've done, but I believe that any giving that I'll be doing will be going to our great university here in Columbia going forward for sure. But certainly appreciate the thought and the aggressiveness, and I know where my money is going though, and it's right here.
I don't know whether you frame that or immediately put it in the receptacle, but anyway, it's a very funny story. Coach, thank you very much for coming on. We always enjoy talking to you, and hope to see you soon.
No, likewise. Hope to see you soon. Appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you, Coach. Wow, always enjoy the conversations with Coach Shane Beamer. What a great personality, and has brought a lot of energy to that program. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here, and thanks for being a part of the program, and more of your calls. And Eugene is up next in Georgia. How are you, Eugene?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just want to comment, please, if I can, on what your previous caller, his name was Scott, had to say about my Bulldogs. Of course, we don't expect those people down there in Florida to like us very much, and we understand how they're a little envious of our good coach Kirby Smart's record against them. In fact, you know, he had a lot to say about Kirby having underachieved, but that's kind of strange for me to hear because Kirby's beaten Dan Mullen every time he's faced him.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you.
Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Except this last time. I think that's about the only time that Dan Bailey has beaten Kirby. And so if either of the two coaches is underachieved, I believe it's Mullen, not Kirby. And he also had some kind of curious things to say about JT Daniels. He came off the bench after recovering from his injury and faced the teams he faced after being cleared to play, and he did very well. And this man pointed out the fact that he was ranked the number 3 quarterback toward the end of the season, and then he proceeded to talk about how the teams that he faced were not really all that great and the competition wasn't that fierce. But he conveniently overlooked the fact that Cincinnati was very well deserving of its high national ranking, and JT Daniels looked mighty fine in beating Cincinnati. In fact, he looked a heck of a lot better, as did the whole Bulldog team, in beating Cincinnati than I recall Florida having looked when they collapsed entirely against Oklahoma.
Fair point.
I don't understand why he forgot those facts, Paul. Can you imagine why he forgot those facts?
It's always interesting when people are making arguments about their favorite team, how often they forget salient and important points. Apparently that call has a number of people really upset. We'll try to get some reaction here. Drew is on the air. Hello, Drew. Hey, Drew. Drew may have wanted to go on the air, but he wasn't. Les is up next. Hello, Les.
Thanks, Paul, for taking my call. Yeah,
that
previous caller kind of stole my thunder a little bit. It's stunning to me how many of callers, especially some Georgia fans, who are unhappy with Coach Smart. I think that if every coaching job in the SEC except for Alabama opened up, I believe that they would all take Kirby Smart. And I would also say that I don't know how many coaching jobs are coming open next year, but I bet you every one of them would take Kirby Smart. I mean, he's just a play or two away from having won a national championship, and it's just amazing to me how many Georgia fans seem unhappy with this coach. I think he's a fabulous coach, and I'm an Auburn fan.
Thanks for the call. We had Josh Kendall on earlier, and he said Kirby Smart was hired for one reason, to win a national championship. I disagree. Kirby Smart was hired to bring some higher degree of expectations to that program. Mark Richt was a very consistent 9-3 coach, but he never came close to in his later years to making a serious run. Kirby Smart has been in every game, he's had a few blowouts. Don't misunderstand me, to LSU and others, but he has brought this program to a level it has not been in 40 years, and I think that the perception of Georgia living and dying in Alabama's shadow is not true. It may have been a conversation piece a couple of years ago, but I don't know any reasonable Georgia fan who is the least bit upset with Kirby Smart. I just think this is a false argument. Mitch, I don't know what happened. I think I may have knocked Mitch off the air there. I'll try Ryan, who is up next. Hey, Ryan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Very well, thank you.
Just listened to the Shane Beamer conversation you had. Listened to him a ton. I've been a South Carolina fan ever since I graduated there in 2013, season ticket holder. Just curious what your opinion is on what his expectations are, really. Not obviously the first year, it's kind of like a year zero, but for the first like 5-6 years of his situation at Carolina, being in the position that he is with Georgia, Clemson and Florida in such close proximity, I mean, what is even a realistic expectation for the fan base and for him to get that program to a realistic level where they actually have an opportunity to win?
I think it's competitive right now. And what I mean by that is building an infrastructure, building a base. I mean, you tell me. You're closer to the program than I am, but I don't think they have much talent on that roster, and that's not on Shane Beamer. That's the other guy's problem, not his.
So it's just a matter of trying to build something. I just don't know what.
Absolutely,
the,
and I think it's
to get talent there at this point. Like you said, I mean, there's nothing there. Just curious how you even start there.
I think you do it slowly, and I think what he brings right now is enthusiasm. Yeah, Muschamp brought enthusiasm, but there were a lot of treads on Muschamp's tires by the time he got there. Shane Beamer is a new article. He is something that is fresh and exciting and something to build around. And I think he'll have the time as long as it's not like a rocket ship that goes around and, you know, moves sideways and then blows up. Let me direct you to Jeremy Pruitt. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think he's a much smarter IQ coach than Jeremy Pruitt. I think Jeremy Pruitt was a great evaluator of talent, and he was a great defensive coach, but he didn't have the intangibles. Shane Beamer does, and you know, that is critical. But at some point you have to graduate from winning the press conference to winning on the field, but he knows that. He's been around great coaches his entire life, whether it's his dad, whether it's Spurrier, Sly Croom, where he started, as well as more recently Lincoln Riley. I mean, you, of all those people that I would go to school on, it would be Lincoln Riley, because he's done it. He inherited a great situation, but he has improved it, which is remarkable when you consider who his predecessor was.
All right, man, you're giving me some. Hey,
I will tell you, Ryan, I am as excited about what I hear from him. I don't know him very well, but I feel it when I'm talking to someone. And you know, just think about this for a second. And you probably didn't have to be subjected to as many as I did. But you compare that. I've interviewed Coach Beamer 3 or 4 times now. And you compare the tape of that to the 3 or 4 first interviews I did with Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, I thought I was somebody was plucking my fingernails out during some of those interviews. With Beamer, it's fun. I feel like I'm, you know, the two of us are sipping a beer, watching a baseball game together.
Hey, that's my type of guy, man. I mean, we need somebody that's going to get, like you said, get some excitement here. Just give us a fighting chance against these schools that have just historically dominated us, and give us even a hint at getting back to what we were under Spurrier. Because, I mean, I'm not an old-time South Carolina fan that lived through all the dark days, so maybe I'm a little spoiled. But we just want to get back to a point where we can compete with these teams and start beating the Tennessees and the Kentuckys again, and start having at least a chance against these Clemsons and Georgias. Because, man, getting killed every year, it sucked over the last few years.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. And that's really what it's about at all the schools with new coaches, especially South Carolina. Yeah, you know, with Muschamp, you knew he was capable, but, yeah, you know, I don't know. Somebody's going to have to do somebody smarter than I am is going to have to do a postmortem on where Will Muschamp went wrong. I think it, you know, it had more to do with personality than it did with coaching acumen. We will take a break. We have a lot to do. Don't forget, many more guests will be dropping by, including Greg McElroy from Pro Day in Tuscaloosa. That is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome you back. And once again, we head to Tuscaloosa. It seems like we do this every week, and are joined by Greg McElroy for the miniseries better known as Alabama Pro Day. Greg, this was the second one. I don't know how many more are planned, but how did this one go?
It was good, Paul. A little less eventful if you're looking for the on-field drills. But if you're looking for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, which I think most people, that's what they tune in for, it was a solid day. Mac Jones putting forth an effort today with 58 throws in his script, but he also had the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith, on the receiving end of some of those throws, and Najee Harris, the outstanding running back, also took part in the Routes on Air segment. Najee Harris, after the Routes on Air segment, went through some running back-specific drills as well. So it was an eventful day if you like star power, because there was plenty of star power on display.
Well, I do, and I know the audience does it well. So let's start with Mac, because you deal in the vagaries of this stuff a lot more than we do here, but there are all kinds of rumors and speculation that he is moving up the charts and could go extremely high. What did the scouts see today, and what do you think could ultimately happen by the time we get closer to the draft?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, talking with his quarterback coach, David Morris, before the workout, hearing what the priorities were to showcase arm strength, to showcase athleticism, and to be able to pull off schedule and off balance throws off with regularity. And I thought he did so beautifully. There was a throw that went viral last week with Zach Wilson, BYU Zach Wilson, in which he faked a run to the right, booted all the way back to the left, threw it across his body 60 yards on a dime. Well, Mac Jones tried that same exact throw not once but twice today and was able to pull it off in both instances. So when you look at what they wanted to accomplish and then looking and visiting with Mac Jones after the fact, it sounded like they accomplished exactly what it was that they were looking for. Strong arm, athleticism, being able to pull off those off-balance, off-platform throws. That's what all the NFL coaches that were here today, I think that's what they were able to see and will likely be able to take with them back to their organizations.
Greg, everyone's aware of the speculation. Right now, some of the prognosticators or projectors have him 15th. I've seen him as high as near the top of the draft. I mean, sort all that out for us. What's really going on?
Well, we always love a projection, right? But there's also smoke screens that are going on. But right now, the scuttlebutt, Paul, is that because of the move by the San Francisco 49ers to the number 3 overall pick, it does have a feeling as though Mac Jones might be slotted for that spot. Now, San Francisco's brain trust, their GM John Lynch, and their head coach Kyle Shanahan were both here in attendance to watch and observe Mac Jones very closely. What their interaction was like after the fact is something that we still, at this point, don't entirely know, but it seemed as though Mac Jones was going to have some conversations with them over the course of the next several hours when he's going to be on the chalkboard and when they're going to try to familiarize themselves with what type of guy Mac Jones is. So that's the scuttlebutt that's kind of going on right now, and the fact that San Francisco was here in Tuscaloosa for Mac Jones's second pro day while in Columbus, Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State, he was also going through his pro day. The fact that they opted to come here instead of Columbus led to a lot of people starting to connect the dots between Mac Jones and the San Francisco 49ers. So if he does go third overall to San Francisco, he'll be the highest drafted Alabama quarterback in the modern era. Of course, the highest ever outside of the modern era was Joe Namath, but that was so long ago that it doesn't even necessarily count in this type of event and this type of draft evaluation.
Maybe a better question in early May, but considering a year ago we weren't 100% sure, number one, whether we'd have a season, but number two, whether Mac Jones would be the starter at the end of the season if we had one. I mean, we thought he would be the starter at the beginning, but everyone was wondering about Bryce Young. How inconceivable would this story be if he ended up going that high?
Well, we just saw Joe Burrow go from undraftable 5th, 6th, 7th round to first overall. So we've seen it now in consecutive years. A guy that has just skyrocketed up the draft board. And it's further proving just how quarterback hungry the NFL is right now, and the fact that all these teams and all these coaches, they're willing to spend significant draft capital in order to get their guy that could potentially lead their team for the next decade and change. So the fact that San Francisco, they were able to trade away and willing to trade away a number of first-round picks in order to position themselves to have the quarterback of their choosing, it says a lot about where the NFL is right now about the quarterback position, but it also says a lot about not having your mind made up about what a quarterback might be and letting the tape talk to you. I think if you look at Mac Jones and his skill set, it's been pretty amazing to watch just how much better he's gotten from where he was last year to where he is this year. He's more accurate, he's more decisive, and obviously the tape speaks for itself. We saw a remarkable season in which he almost won the Heisman Trophy and led Alabama to an undefeated national championship while setting a number of FBS quarterback records in the process. So I think there's a lot to be said about how he's been able to elevate himself, but I think if you ask Mac Jones, I think he expected to be in this position. He has a ton of confidence. He has a ton of faith in this personnel that's around him. And I think he has a lot of excitement about what he's going to bring to an organization, whichever organization that may be.
Greg, I know a lot going on around there. Thanks for joining us, and I'm sure there'll be another pro day at Alabama soon. We will talk to you then. Thank you very much.
Might talk to you tomorrow, Paul. I think pro day 3 for Bama might be tomorrow. We'll see.
Can't wait. Greg McElroy joining us from Tuscaloosa, and we will take a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. We will find out in a few minutes what's at stake tomorrow at the United States Supreme Court, arguably the most important case ever involving intercollegiate athletics. How will it shape the future? We'll talk to an expert on that coming up in just a few minutes. And now let's talk to an expert on pretty much everything. He is Legend from Alabama. Hello, Legend. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing, my friend?
Things are going well. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, I'm still recovering, Paul. Just now getting over. I just shot a couple three throws in the backyard.
I think you can do better than 44%. Can you not?
Oh, man. I knew we was in trouble, Paul, when me and Timmy B agreed. I mean, I love Timmy B now, but we don't ever agree. So when me and him agreed, I started having Wimp Sanders flashbacks, Paul. Wimp Sanders flashbacks.
It did seem familiar.
Yeah, and then when Barkley put the hat on, curse of the fat man.
He did that purposely.
I knew we was in trouble. But you know what soothes it, Paul? You know what makes it all better?
I do not.
Another pro day at the University of Alabama. Makes it all better, Paul. Makes it all better, baby. So I think it's pretty clear that Mac Jones is going in the top 5. Wouldn't you agree?
He looks like it right now.
Yep, so that means Jones, Waddle, Smith, and Surtain Jr. in the top 10. And Georgia wonders why they have a Kirby Smart problem.
Well, hey, Legend, allow me. Does Kirby get to take credit for Justin Fields?
Oh, I knew it was going to beat Ohio State when Justin Fields was that quarterback. Because he had that Georgia mentality, Paul. I knew it was a wrap. I said, man, that dude's been to Georgia. There ain't no way he's beating Alabama. But here's the thing, Paul. I said about Kirby, when he watched Nick Saban celebrate a championship on the other sideline, I said he has reached his mountaintop. He has reached his mountaintop. Everybody called me crazy. His window's closed, Paul. He had a great team. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he's got a great quarterback. I don't know if he's got a great team anymore. But there's a lot of talent come off that team in the last couple of years. And I will say this, Paul. This is what's going to happen to Kirby Smart. Mark it down. Write it down. I said this. 8 years from now, look back on it. 3 more disappointing years at Georgia of 9-10 wins. Then off to South Carolina for 5 years, Paul.
Hey, Legend, I'm curious. Since you do you see anyone in the current crop of coaches that can lay a hand on what's happening right now at Alabama?
No. We're going to have another pro day next year with another 4 top 10 draft picks. Nick Saban has built the program, the dynasty, the godfather. I mean, all these other teams are basically competing for second. It took LSU 5 years to build that roster that beat Alabama last year, Paul, and it'll take them another 5 years to have another chance. This is the program, a dynasty. these schools and fans might as well get it through their thick heads. You're playing for second, and if you expect your coach to beat Nick Saban, you better wait till he's 100, because it ain't happening no time soon. Off to South Carolina, Kirby! Peace out, Paul.
Legend in mid-season form here on the next to the last day of the month of March. Jay is up next in Nashville. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am well. Great to hear from you.
I'm not in Nashville. I'm in Knoxville.
Knoxville. Hey, let me correct myself. I spent four wonderful years of my life in Knoxville. I've never lived in Nashville. So
I know you did, Paul. And I'm going to tell you something. I told you, I think you and Marcus Spears were together. And 4-5 years ago is when they hired Kirby Smart.
That is correct, yes.
I told you and Marcus Spears then, Kirby Smart is a great coach, but he won't win the championship until Mr. Nick Saban retires.
I do remember you telling me that, Jay.
It was a while back, but I did tell you that. Good to talk to you, Paul. Have a good day.
Jay, thank you. And what a remarkable comment that was. I don't know if anyone had ever thought of that one before. Rhett is up next in Georgia. Hello, Rhett.
Hey, Paul. First time calling, man. Love the show.
Thank you. Great to have you here.
Yeah, as you can tell, country Georgia boy, but very educated. A lot of these Bama folks like the legend that just called. His age is probably higher than his IQ, but to make it sound like Kirby's reached the mountaintop is pretty ridiculous. He could have had a natty and should have had a natty after his second year. It just sounds ludicrous to me. The quarterback play has been the only thing that has kept us from, I would think two national championships, first being 17, second when we lost the SEC championship to Bama. And I was just wanting to get your thoughts.
Red, I agree with you. And I have always felt Kirby Smart was going to be a successful coach at Georgia, and I still do. And I don't think anything has changed.
Well, that's the way I feel. But it's just what gets me is, these past three commitments, we've had three, top 100, top 200 commits past 10 days, and the recent George Pickens situation. And you have things like with, Auburn fans, commenting about the injury. I mean, just terrible things. And, you see more Bama fans on Georgia boards than you see Georgia fans on there. And it's just like, I've always heard that, you fear, or the saying that I don't know how to put it in words, but, as three games can tell, backup quarterback going into halftime with a lead in Tuscaloosa. We led all but the main 30 seconds of two games and lost both of them, which both could have went either way. Just for them to make it sound like that they're just the king of football, we're on another planet, is just absolutely absurd in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rhett, and everybody has great respect for Nick Saban. We don't need to waste time talking about him. But Kirby Smart, to me, is at that very next rung. I think Jimbo Fisher may be with him, but that doesn't matter. Yeah, we're talking about Kirby Smart.
Yeah, he hasn't won one, as the man. Going into year six, we finally have a quarterback, and even more so, someone to call the offense and knows what they're doing. And it's just, even without George Pickens, I feel like we have enough weapons and someone to, punctuate those weapons enough to even win it without George Pickens.
Yeah, no, thank you for the call, Rhett. You made a great point. I think Pickens is a big loss, but we're talking about a program that has recruited at or near the Saban level for 5 years. And I think people are looking past that. And you know, listen, I've known Legend a long time. Legend is trying to incite Georgia fans, and it looks like he did. We will pause here. We have a very important guest coming up in a minute, Michael McCann, who is one of the keen legal observers in this country. And there is a critically important hearing tomorrow at the U.S. Supreme Court. We will let Michael tell you all about it, but it's the most important one involving the NCAA in a generation, maybe ever.